Welcome to Hoosier Homeland, a podcast by the Indiana Department of Homeland Security. This podcast is where we discuss and explore the latest news and insights in the world of emergency management and public safety. Join us as we have engaging conversations with subject matter experts and bring you the latest on how IDHS is working to provide Hoosiers with a safe, secure, and resilient Indiana. Sit back, relax, and let's dive in. On today's first episode, we discuss the recent report from the Governor's Public Health Commission with IDHS Chief Medical Director for Indiana EMS, Dr. Eric Yazel, as well as the effects COVID-19 has had on the emergency medical community and how IDHS is working to combat the most critical issues facing EMS today. I'm Bridget Campbell, the Digital Communications Coordinator for IDHS, and you're listening to Hoosier Homeland. Thank you so much for coming to talk with us on this important issue.
Thank you for having me here. You're exactly right. It's a really important time for EMS in our state.
So the Governor's Public Health Commission report, it lays out a clear picture of the strengths and weaknesses in our public health systems stemming from the COVID-19 pandemic. What are your biggest takeaways from the report?
It's a groundbreaking report. I mean, it's a comprehensive evaluation of the public health infrastructure of our state and strengths and weaknesses. And, you know, I think it's really important that they recognized EMS as such a key component of that. And I think that with where the healthcare delivery is in our state, we're just now starting to scratch the potential of where EMS can go.
So one of the biggest challenges EMS has faced recently is the growing EMS shortage and an increase in demand in EMS services. Indiana EMS runs have doubled. However, the number of ambulances and EMS providers has decreased in that same time. Obviously, this is a really big issue, has a lot of different angles and solutions to look at, but I am wondering, what do you see as the most pressing factors that have led to where we are now?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think every single sector is talking about their workforce issues, but I really think we need to stress that we're above and beyond just a shortage. I mean, we're at critical, if not catastrophic, levels of shortages. And you don't have to be an economist to say, you know, you've got runs that are almost doubling with a decreasing workforce. You know, there are already some sentinel events happening out there, and they'll continue to be as a function of that shortage. And so we really have to pull out all the stops and attack this from numerous different angles to make a difference. And these are, you know, a lot of these are long plays. You know, workforce issues are 4 or 5 year solutions. So we really have to get moving and get moving fast.
So one of the recommendations in the report was to ensure local level EMS readiness through expansion and sustainability in EMS workforce. What does implementation of that look like for our EMS section?
A lot of different angles. You know, number one, we have to take care of the work staff that we do have. You know, I think a lot of times we focus on recruitment and bringing new people into the field, but we've got to improve reimbursement, benefits, things like that, overall wellness of our providers. Otherwise, all the recruitment in the world is just going to be replacing our losses and not building a sustainable workforce. That being said, we do need to address that side of things as well with some creative solutions, whether that be tuition reimbursements or, you know, changing class structures, things like that. Figuring out ways for better rural access to training and things as well. Just a lot of different angles here that we're developing a comprehensive plan to try to address.
So obviously, for rural communities, these issues are often multiplied. So what are the barriers keeping rural EMS providers and EMS workers from finding equitable and long-term solutions?
I think there are multiple factors there. In our rural areas, there's limited access to training. So you're asking somebody to drive, you know, 2 or 3 hour round trip, sometimes several days a week for a training program. It's just not feasible, especially for young people who are trying to build families and have other commitments and things like that. So we lose a lot of people there. There's still some disparate salaries. I mean, in your urban areas, they simply pay more and people are going to migrate to those areas. And you're talking about limited populations sometimes, so you're drawing from a smaller population as well. So there's just a lot of challenges to make that an equitable solution. And you see these basically where one area is growing rapidly with medics and another area is really hurting, and it's because that other area may be better resourced or have better training options. I shouldn't say better resourced, everybody's struggling a little bit, but some places are struggling less than others.
So another recommendation was for the Indiana Department of Health and IDHS to invest in a pediatric pre-hospital care improvement plan, which is utilizing pediatric resuscitation systems proven to save lives. Can you tell me a bit about what that would look like?
Yeah, when you talk to boots on the ground, people providing care all throughout the state, they ask them what causes them the most stress and things, and a lot of times it's our high acuity pediatric runs. And that's one thing where I think state can really be a resource in is getting out there and helping them support training opportunities and different modalities to improve care. And one of those things we're looking at is something called HandTevi, which is a smartphone app that implements with local protocols to basically provide another level of safety to medication administration. It's been proven all across the country to decrease medication errors and also to improve medication administration. If somebody's uncomfortable about a dose, a lot of times they're not going to give it. And so raising that comfort level allows better pain control and other, you know, critical medications to be administered by our EMS services. But I think it's another just great example of how IDHS and our local services can work together to support things that are important and then the communities all across the state.
So what are some of the plans and initiatives the EMS section is looking to implement in 2023, and what are some of the things you're most excited about?
Yeah, I think something we're looking at is obviously the workforce stuff that we've talked about, different incentives to try to get people into the field of EMS, continue to advocate for better reimbursement and billing practices. But one of the things on the horizon is 911 interoperability, and I think that is a very important thing for our state as a whole. And basically that's where if someone lives right on a county line, the two systems between the two counties may not talk to each other. So you may not necessarily get the closest ambulance. You may get the closest ambulance in whatever county you're in. So our goal is to get the right person to the right place at the right time. And that sounds very easy, but from an IT side of things, getting all those systems to talk to each other and integrate with each other is a big challenge. But if we can make that happen, that'll improve the quality of care all throughout the state and be a really big boost. We're also looking at increasing our footprint in mobile integrated health and community paramedicine. And that's basically where our EMS systems are delivering care at the home of individuals and some of our most vulnerable individuals. And we're seeing a lot more focus on that, whether that be grant funding to help some of our community start programs, helping some of our other more established programs, you know, kind of push the envelope and do some new creative things. And again, working on billing and reimbursement for those services. And I think that's a huge growth area in our state and one that I'm really excited about.
So with the end of the year coming up, the 2023 legislative session will start soon. How would you characterize the discussions leading up to the legislative session about the impact this report could have on the Indiana EMS system? And do you see this as a transformational time in EMS history?
I absolutely do. I think that's the key statement, is a transformational time. I don't feel like I'm being dramatic if I say there's never been a more important legislative session. I think we do have eyes and ears on our problems out there, whether that be in collaboration with the Governor's Public Health Commission. You know, the Behavioral Health Commission released a report that EMS has a role in. We had our American College of Surgeons trauma review, again, recognizing the role of EMS. There are just so many facets across the state that recognize for us to reach our potential as a state healthcare system, a robust EMS system is key to that. And we have, you know, a lot of great legislative champions out there for our cause, but we're starting to bring more and more into the fold as they realize the importance of EMS and the role that EMS can play in a lot of healthcare solutions across our state. Now's a great time, if you do have any legislative contacts, to reach out to and stress the importance of and get out there and support a lot of these different initiatives for healthcare across the state. But again, we're never going to reach our potential without EMS being a well-funded, sustainable service all throughout the state, urban, rural, everything. So get out there and bend some ears.
Gotcha. I want to thank you again, Dr. Azel, for talking to us about this important topic. We look forward to seeing what EMS has coming in the next year.
Awesome. Excited. Thank you for having me.
This has been Hoosier Homeland, a production of the Indiana Department of Homeland Security. For more information, go to in.gov/DHS. That's in.gov/DHS. Do you have a story suggestion or topic you would like to hear on the podcast? We are looking for engaging and interesting content to feature on Hoosier Homeland. To submit your idea, simply send us an email at pio@dhs.in.gov with the subject line, podcast submission. Make sure you include your name and contact information. Who knows, your story might just make it into a future episode. We can't wait to hear from you. If you enjoy this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Indiana DHS and on Twitter at IDHS. See you next episode.